Then we'll take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 3. This is the second message in our series, I Am Blessed. I Am Blessed. And the first message last Sunday night was kind of our introduction to it. And we talked about what we mean when we say that. And when we say, I am blessed, we're saying that we believe God is good. And that God has been good to us and that our life is good. And we're asking God to, in that, to make us thankful for all that he's done for us, because we believe that a thankful heart is good. It's good for us to be thankful for all that God has done. And so we're wanting to remind ourselves and asking the Lord to really work in our heart about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And so in Galatians chapter 3, we're going to read, starting in verse 6, down through verse 9. It says in verse 6 of Galatians 3, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word, and we thank you for how you are so good to us. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would work in our hearts concerning righteousness and how you have blessed us. And so we pray that you would make us thankful this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight I want us to see that we are blessed with righteousness. We've been blessed with righteousness. One of the greatest blessings that we've been given is the fact that we have been given true righteousness. And the Bible often will use the word justified, as it does in verse 8. The word justified or justification is a declaration of righteousness. It's that we look at the account, our account, we find only righteousness there. If it was the idea of like a ledger book, we would look in that ledger book and we would go back as far as we could and we would see just righteousness. And then we would look ahead and all we would find written line after line is righteousness. So we've been justified and declared righteous. And that truly is a blessing from God. And I want us to go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. The first part of the verse says, these shall go into everlasting punishment. But I want to look at that last part of the verse. The righteous shall go into life eternal. That's what righteousness does for us. The righteous go into life eternal. Romans chapter 5 and verse 21 says that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Only the righteous are allowed into heaven. The unrighteous, the Bible says, they're cast into hell. The righteous, though, are allowed into heaven. I think we look at that and say, without a doubt, that is a blessing from God, that righteousness has allowed us to enter into heaven for all eternity. If we were to look in Psalm 34 and verse 17, another blessing of righteousness, it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Bible says God hears the prayer of the righteous. And in Psalm 5 and verse 12, it says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. All the blessings of righteousness, a home in heaven for the righteous. God hears the prayer of the righteous. But if we go back to Galatians chapter 3, Paul is talking about Abraham. And he describes Abraham as a righteous man. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham is given the title of righteous. Abraham is called a righteous man. Now we know that not everybody deserves the awards that they're given, right? We found that out in life. I was reading an article for this that Forbes put out earlier this year, and claiming that more than half of the top degrees in the United Kingdom might be undeserved. That was their title. And so they were reporting on a watchdog group for these universities over in the United Kingdom, and they had put out a report saying that a lot of these top degrees really weren't deserved, is how they put it. So they said that over the last 10 years, the percentage of graduates awarded first-class degrees, that percentage has doubled over the last 10 years. So a first-class degree would be like a 3.8 to a 4.0. So like magna cum laude and summa cum laude, those degrees. And they said that over the last 10 years, that the amount of people getting those degrees has doubled. They say what has stayed the same is like their achievement levels coming in. So they said that like a person with a lower achievement level in their, you know, their education career before that, in the last 10 years, they have gotten a lot more likely to get these top-end degrees. And they went, the teachers are good, but they're basically like, they're not that good. Like, we can't account for this increase in giving out these high-end degrees just for the teachers. And so they're pointing to like a loss of credibility for these universities, because so many more people were getting these higher end degrees. And we understand that, right? That not everybody is given something that they have really earned. And you know, I look in Galatians chapter 3 and I've got kind of an issue with this. How can Abraham be called righteous? We know who Abraham was, right? If we were to go back, you don't have to turn there, but Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, Abraham has followed the leading of the Lord and is in the promised land, and then a famine comes. Right, so here comes this famine, and Abraham decides to take his family and leave the promised land and go down to Egypt. So he's going down to Egypt to find food for his family during this famine. But as he journeys, he starts to think about it, and then he gets kind of worried. He gets afraid that when he gets down to Egypt, that the Pharaoh, or you know, the people down there, will look at his beautiful wife, and then they will kill Abraham and take his wife. And so he hatches this plan, and he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lie. We're going to say that you're not my wife. We're going to say you're my sister, and then that'll be fine. And that's his plan. And Abraham puts it into action, and it works pretty good until it gets found out, and then he kind of gets in trouble for that. But Abraham's a liar. That's what we find in Genesis chapter 12. So how can a liar be called righteous? That doesn't seem like righteousness to me, right? A man who is, you know, righteous, conform to God's standard, holiness. Yet he's a liar. If we look on in Genesis chapter 16, God has promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son, right? And that was going to be the son that God would use to make a nation from Abraham and Sarah. But it hasn't happened yet, and they get impatient. And so they hatch this other plan, and Abraham, Sarah says, all right, how about you have a child with my maidservant? That doesn't sound very righteous to me, does it? Yet how can God, in Galatians chapter 3, look at this imperfect man and not only call him righteous, but also use him then to bless other nations, right? Those that would follow with a righteousness like Abraham's righteousness. How can Abraham, a man who is a liar, and a man who would do these other things, how would that man be called righteous? And then if we follow that up with, how about us? How could we really be blessed with righteousness? And that's what I want us to see this evening. The righteousness that we have been blessed with. And I want to see number one, we've been blessed with a righteousness that replaces our sinfulness. A righteousness that replaces our sinfulness. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You know all the sin that we've committed? All of that had been placed on our account. And we had spent years piling sin after sin onto that account. And we had accumulated an unpayable debt. A debt that we could not really do anything about. We had put all of that on there and we could not fix that. And you know, we read this list of sins in verse 9 and 10. We go, man, some of those are pretty bad, Right? I'd never do those. But then we get down to verse 10, and maybe the second one in there kind of gets us, right? Covetous? I think we would all go, okay, all right, maybe I haven't done all of those, but I've definitely done that. You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, there's another list. In verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." So, sins God hates, sins that are an abomination to God, we go, okay, what would they be? First one, a proud look. All right. Number two, a lying tongue. We go, all right, we're two into this list, and I've already checked both of those boxes. You know what we find? If we really honestly go through Scripture, we find that we're worse than we even think. We are more wicked and more sinful than we even realize. All of that has been piled onto our account. But if we go continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, after it talks about all of that wickedness, it comes down to verse 11 and says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Ye are washed. God takes all of that sin and he washes it all away. It's forgiven and it's forgotten by God. He takes all of that and he cleanses us. Psalm 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." That's what God has done to all that sin that was on our account. And you know, God never does anything halfway, does he? Never, right? He always completes that. And he has taken our sin entirely, completely away through Jesus Christ. And then we come down to the end of verse 11. It says, right in the middle, we're justified. Not only are we washed and sanctified, where the sin is taken away, but we're justified, which means all that sin which was on our account that we had piled up, gone, and now it's replaced. Replaced with righteousness. So that no longer is there sin on our account. Now it's only righteousness. We've been justified. God forgives our debt of sin and declares us to be righteous. And righteous people aren't people who have never sinned before. They're people who have had their sin washed, sanctified, and replaced with righteousness. We can't find anybody who's never sinned, but we do find people who's had their sin washed away and have righteousness in its place. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For he hath made him," he hath made Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And I like to call that the great exchange, right? Our sin gone, in its place, righteousness. What a blessing that is, that all the sin we had piled up and all the sin that had been accumulated on our account is no longer there. And instead, righteousness, perfection, holiness, righteousness placed on our account. We are blessed because it's a righteousness that replaces our sinfulness. Number two, we're blessed because it's a righteousness that's received by faith. Back in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 6, it talks about, in verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The righteousness that we've been given isn't our own. Righteous people they're not just like naturally good at it, or super talented when it comes to righteousness. You know, we look at people that compete in the Olympics, and it's just ridiculous how good they are at their event, right, or at their sport. Think about like Michael Phelps or Simone Biles or some of these people. They're just incredible at what they do. And I heard someone say, and they said, you know what we need in the Olympics is we need like an average person that's also in the mix. Like someone who's, they're pretty good. They've done it before. You know, for skiing, they're fine going down black diamonds, right? But now we're like making them race. We're making them hit the moguls or whatever. And we have them compete, and it displays their time versus these Olympians, right? Because they're so good. They're naturally talented, and then they put in a lot of hard work. When we look at people that are declared righteous, that are justified, we don't look at them and go, they're just really good at being good. You know, they're good at like following the law and keeping everything and obeying, and they're just naturally talented. Or they worked super hard. You know, like they put in a lot of effort to become righteous. It's not a righteousness that we're good at or that we were talented enough to achieve. It's a righteousness that is received simply by faith. Righteousness by faith. It's not our righteousness. It's not the righteous people's righteousness. Look in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. There's this prophecy that Paul references that was given to Abraham in addition to the fact that Abraham would have a son. Abraham would be given the promised land. The Lord also said, Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless all the nations. Right? Everybody will be blessed through Abraham. That prophecy, as it is mentioned in verse 8, was a prophecy of justification. The justification that would come through Abraham's genealogy. And we understand that that was talking about Jesus Christ, who is a descendant of Abraham. Through Abraham's seed, through Jesus Christ, God would justify all those that believe by faith. And so the good news in all of this is this. I don't have to earn this righteousness. I don't have to be good enough to be righteous. I don't have to be talented enough at this to be righteous. All I need is to trust in Jesus Christ. His righteousness is placed on my account. It's not my righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been given on my account that I simply receive by faith. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul was rejoicing. He says, I rejoice to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And in both here in our passage and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's called the righteousness of God. And what's interesting is, in the Old Testament, one of the names for Jesus Christ, he's called the Lord, our righteousness. I've always thought that's very interesting. The Lord, our righteousness. He's not called there the Lord of righteousness or the Lord that is righteous. He is called the Lord, our righteousness. So every time Israel would say that, every time Israel would say that name, the Lord, our righteousness, it was this reminder to them that it wasn't their righteousness. God was reminding them in that name that it wasn't that they had earned it, that they had been good enough. We read Israel's history, and it's a lot like ours, where we go, well, we're just not good enough. But then we're reminded, well, the Lord, our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness that's been given on our account. And it happens by faith. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God. The end of verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The righteousness that we have, Christ's righteousness, is simply received by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, the one who bore our sins on the cross, the one who took all of our iniquity on himself, whose blood that was shed for us washes all that sin away, and the one who now lives and intercedes for us. It's his perfect, unmatched righteousness that's just been placed on our account. The sin, all ours. The righteousness, all Jesus Christ, but applied to our account. So we're blessed with a righteousness that we have not earned. We've just received it by faith. Number three, we're blessed because it's a righteousness that is unremovable. It's a righteousness that cannot be removed. Do you know that we looked at a couple of things Abraham had done wrong? But you know Abraham sinned after he was declared righteous too? I mean, it did, right? We may not have record of it, but we know that he was still a sinful man. But now, Galatians chapter 3, thousands of years later, God is still declaring Abraham to be a righteous man. And that's the blessing of the righteousness that we've received, that it never diminishes, it never decays, it cannot be corrupted. It's a perfect, unremovable, unchanging righteousness. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John starts off this verse with a good instruction for them. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. We understand that, right? We are not supposed to be sinning, right? Once we're saved, we've been given victory over sin. We need to live in that victory. victory over temptation, victory over Satan, right? Sin not. But then the verse continues, and if any man sin, because that's the reality of our life still, that we will still struggle and we will still fall. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Do you know if we had to maintain our righteousness, it sure wouldn't last very long. We've only had one pet as a family, and I'm sure I've told you about this pet before. It was a betta fish. So we got this fish, and we tried to do everything right. We got it a nice-sized tank, and we had a filter, and I would try to clean it regularly. We fed the fish, and it did good for a couple months. And then we noticed it started looking a little sickly. It wasn't as energetic as it used to be. And then pretty soon it was floating, belly up, right? Gone. I've maintained my righteousness far less than I've been able to maintain a betta fish. As long as I was able to keep that betta fish alive, which was not long, I kept my righteousness alive even less than that. We are not good at keeping our own righteousness. But the righteousness we've been given is not a righteousness that we maintain. We don't keep that up. It's not like we've been given it and the Lord says, all right, I put this on your account, now you keep it. Now you maintain it. You uphold that standard now. No, because it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you know who maintains our righteousness? Jesus Christ does. As long as Jesus Christ is perfect and holy and righteous, so are all those that trust in Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in the end of verse 1 of 1 John chapter 2. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one who has not sinned, who has never sinned, who went through all the temptations of his life never sinning, and who from all eternity, from beginning to the end, has never and will never sinned. He is our righteousness. He's the one that maintains our righteousness. I don't have to keep it up. Jesus Christ is doing that for me. We're blessed. We're blessed with a righteousness that is unremovable. It'll never be taken away. It'll never be changed. It'll never be corrupted because it's not our righteousness that we are maintaining. It's His, Christ's righteousness. He keeps that. And then number 4, one more. We are blessed because it's a righteousness recognized by God. A righteousness recognized by God. I think this is the most amazing part of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Where Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The person who was declaring Abraham righteous was God himself. It wasn't Sarah. I mean, Sarah should probably be biased, right? His wife, you know, should prop him up and say, yeah, Abraham, he's a good guy. You know, it wasn't Abraham's friends who would be like, sure, yeah, he's a great guy. You know, he helped me move one time, you know, and helped me pack the U-Haul. He's a great guy. It's not even us who would look back and say, wow, Abraham, you know, what a man of faith, right? What a great man Abraham was. I think Abraham was righteous. Sure. None of that. It's God himself, God who knew everything that Abraham did, everything, more than Abraham knew himself. God knew that about Abraham. And yet God would still look at Abraham and say, he is righteous, a righteous man. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And God is, not only does he see everything, but he is very just and fair in all that God does. You know, if you're innocent, you probably want a fair judge, right? If you're innocent going to trial, you want a judge that's going to be fair. If you're not innocent, you probably don't want the fairest of judges. You might want one that's bribable, you know, that you could, you know, like hand him a 20, or, you know, that'd probably be might be more than 20 bucks, right? But you want like a judge that you could kind of bribe or would be manipulated, or, you know, if you were friends with him, he would let you off. If you're guilty, that's the sort of judge that you want. And honestly, if we were to get into heaven on our own, that's the sort of judge that we would need, a judge that we could kind of pay off maybe. Yet God is not that judge. He is a just, fair, and righteous judge. He does not let any sin slide. He doesn't let any sin go. He looked at Abraham and saw every single thing that Abraham had done wrong. And yet God still looked at him and said, I declare you to be righteous. And again, it was because by faith, Abraham believed God. And he didn't have his righteousness anymore. It was the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to him. And now, as we have by faith trusted in Jesus Christ, when God sees us, he too declares us to be righteous. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 7, because there's a lot of people who try and slip by in this life with a fake righteousness, with a man-made self-righteousness. And that righteousness, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, that righteousness is good for a lot of people, right? It's good for down here, and it'll trick people. It'll fool friends and family and strangers and all of that. But look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? They're saying, aren't we good enough? Haven't we done enough? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And they are cast out from the presence of God because the righteousness that they had earned was not a righteousness recognized by God. Because God saw that it was simply a self-made righteousness. And all our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. The only righteousness that is recognized by God as making a person fit to enter into heaven is Christ's righteousness. By faith, that's the righteousness that we have. It's a righteousness that God will see in that day that we stand before him to enter into his heaven. He will look at us who have trusted in Jesus Christ, and he will not see us trying to wrap our righteousness around ourselves and look good enough to get into heaven. He will see perfection. He will see the righteousness of his Son who died for us. And he will say, that righteousness, you can come on in.
Amen.
That's what we have, a righteousness that is recognized by God. It's not good enough to just have a righteousness that other people see, where they look and say, yeah, you seem like a good person. You seem good enough. You seem very helpful and kind, and I've never heard you curse or any of those things. It's not good enough to have a righteousness that just seen by people. It has to be a righteousness that God recognizes as true righteousness. And we're blessed tonight to have a righteousness recognized by God. We're so blessed to be called righteousness, to be called righteous. But I don't want to take this for granted. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, the thing that you have is a righteousness that does you no good. It may be fine in the eyes of other people, but it's not a righteousness that God sees. And understand, I can look out tonight and I can't tell who is or who isn't righteous just by looking at your life or knowing you. But the moment you stand before God, your righteousness will either be upheld or it will fall apart. And if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ to save you in that time, all that you've worked for will crumble and you will be cast out from the presence of God forever. But if we're saved tonight, the question I want to ask is do we really realize what we have? Do we realize what we have in Jesus Christ? In the mid-1960s, there was a lady named Claire Beckman. And Claire Beckman was moving into a new apartment, and so she had some furniture she needed to get, and she had one specific place she was looking to fill, and she needed a small sort of table. So she was out doing some yard sailing, and at a garage sale, she found a small table that she liked for $30. So she went up to the lady who was selling it and said, I would like that table. I only have $25. And the lady said, sure, you can have it. So she bought this table, $25. And so she brings it home and she cleaned it up a little bit. And it was there in her house for over 30 years. But then in 1997, she decided to take it to the Antiques Roadshow just to kind of see. So she takes it in and she brings it to the presenter. And they're shocked to see it. It was a table that was made by John and Thomas Seymour. They were cabinet makers in Boston in the late 1700s. And it was in great condition. They said, you've cleaned it, but we're glad that you're not a good cleaner. Because, you know, like all that stuff that's on there, they like that, the patina or whatever they call it, you know? And so they looked at that table and they appraised it for $225,000. She auctioned it off a year later and she got $490,000. She talked the lady down to 25 and she sold it 30 years later for $490,000. And you know, that whole time, she really had no idea how valuable that thing that she had was. I think we're in that same position when it comes to the righteousness of Christ. It's hard for us to really understand what that means to us, that our sin is gone, and in its place is true righteousness. As hard as we try and work to obey God, and yet we still see that how many times we fail, and yet we know that on our account, laying there unchanging, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is recognized by God himself. I haven't earned it, but it's on my account. I haven't maintained it, but it's still there. And I am so blessed to know, because of Jesus Christ, when I stand before my Father in heaven, and when I stand before him, he will see a righteousness that he allows into heaven. The unrighteous, they go to hell. Those that are righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ enter his home, the home of Jesus Christ, for all eternity. We are so blessed with that righteousness. And tonight, I want us to rejoice in that. I want us to be truly thankful for what God has done for us, for his righteousness, not ours. All we did was sin. And yet when we trusted in Jesus Christ, he washed that all away. We are washed, we are sanctified, we're justified, declared righteous by Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, how can we truly understand how great you are? But yet, Lord, you have made us to be righteousness because of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.